In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, when Jesus tells the Pharisees and Herodians in the Gospel to render unto the Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's, he set the framework for how we should think about religion and the state even today. This affirmation determined and funded the Catholic doctrine of the distinction. We are talking about distinction, not separation, of the political life from the religious, of the temporal from the spiritual. This is Jesus' teaching for us today. It is brief. Render unto the Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. What a perfect timing in the midst of this presidential campaign. Dear faithful, Caesar does have rights, whatever we might think of him. He has rights. We owe civil authority our respect and appropriate obedience. But that obedience is limited by what belongs to God. Caesar is not God. Only God is God. And the state is subordinate and accountable to God for its treatment of human persons, all of whom were created by God. Our job as believers is to figure out what things belong to Caesar and what things belong to God. And then put those things in right order in our own lives and in our relations with others. As Catholics, we cannot claim to love God and then ignore the needs of our country, the needs of our neighbors. Loving God, it's like loving a spouse. A husband may tell his wife that he loves her. And of course, that's very beautiful. But she will still want to see the proof in his actions. Likewise, if we claim to be Catholic, we need to prove it by our behavior. And serving other people by working for justice, charity, and truth in our nation's political life is one of the very important ways we do that. The separation of church and state does not mean, and it can never mean, separating our Catholic faith from our public witness, our political choices, and our political actions. That kind of separation would require Christians to deny who they are, who we are, to repudiate Jesus when he commands us to be leaven in the world, and so to make disciples of all nations. That kind of radical separation steals the moral content of a society. It's the equivalent of telling a married man that he cannot act married in public. Of course, he can certainly do that, but believe me, he won't stay married for long. Dear faithful, it does not matter what we claim to believe if we are unwilling to act on our beliefs. What we say about our Catholic faith is the easy part. What we do with it shapes who we really are. I think Catholics, and I mean here mainly American Catholics, need to remember that first, all political leaders draw their authority from God. We owe no leader any submission or cooperation in the pursuit of grave evil. In fact, we have the duty to change bad laws and resist grave evil in our public life, both by our words and prayers and our nonviolent actions. The truest respect we can show to civil authority is the witness of our Catholic faith and our moral convictions without excuse or apologies. You are the salt of the earth, is telling us Jesus. So, if the world loses its flavor, who is it we should blame? The New Testament is forever young, eternally young. Maybe that's us who became so old, who are so old, because we did not live our faith. Our faith has ceased, might have ceased to be a living thing. Dear faithful, what we say about our Catholic faith is the easy part. Saint Therese of Lisieux, Saint Therese of the Little Flower that sustains the church and converts the world by the purity, simplicity, innocence, and zeal of her faith is a model for us. We are not all called to be politicians. We are not all called to work for public administration, but we are all called to do our part, to make our faith strong. That kind of faith is a gift. And the faith of Saint Therese, the faith of Saint Therese of Lisieux, is a faith, is a gift each of us can ask for, and each of us will receive, if we just have the courage to choose it and then act on it. Remember, what we say about our Catholic faith is the easy part. What we do with it shapes who we really are. The only people who ever really change the world are saints. Each one of us can be one of them, but we need to want it and then follow the path that comes with it. The optimism of the modern world including its politics of hope, is like whistling past a graveyard. It's a cheap substitute for real hope and a sly form of selfishness, a method of isolating ourselves from the unhappiness of others by thinking progressive thoughts. Real hope, dear faithful, must be won. We can only attain hope through truth, at the cost of great effort and long patience. Hope is a virtue, from the Latin word virtus, which means strength, an heroic determination of the soul, and the highest form of hope is despair overcome. Anyone who has not noticed the despair, the sadness in the world, should probably go back to sleep. The word hope on a campaign poster may give a little thrill of righteousness, but the world will still be a wreck when the drug wears off. In democracies, we elect public servants, not messiahs. We elect political leaders, not saints. We have to do our part. We cannot delegate all the public affairs to our politicians. We can only attain hope through truth. And what that means is this: from the moment Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," the most important political statement anyone can make is, "Jesus is Lord." We serve Caesar best by serving God first. We honor our nation best by living our Catholic faith honestly and vigorously, and bringing it without apology into the public square and its debates. We are citizens of heaven first. But just as God so loved the world that he sent his Holy Son, so the glory and irony of the Catholic life is this: the more faithfully we love God, the more truly we serve the world. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.